Hello, everyone. My name is Patrick Fiveson from Cal Poly, and I'd like to pose a hypothetical question to you guys first. Say you're a farm in the Midwest, and there's a silo off to the side of your farm. It's been there for about 120 years. It was painted lead paint, and it's weathering, deteriorating. Would you imagine that lead from that silo to be right there underneath that point source of lead, or could it possible that that lead could spread further away from that point source, away into your field, per se? And today, I'm going to be looking into, my team looked into the study of into the natural processes that can transport lead from a point source into a field vertically into the soil as well. So lead has been used, lead has been used in human civilization for thousands of years. In the Roman era, it was the plastic of its day. Malleable, strong, it was used as plumbing. And now we know that's pretty bad. But in our recent past, it's been used in lead paint, up to 40% by mass in the turn of the century, the 1900s. And in the last 60 years, we find out that that's not such a good idea. Lead is actually really bad for you. It's really bad for human children, especially. It permanently lowers the IQ of a child for their life. It causes cancer in adults, lead poisoning, and mental illness in adults as well. So, wrong way again. I have some objectives for you today for my study. Understanding the role of wind in the transportation of lead from a point source. How does wind influence the concentrations of soil lead? Understanding the ability of lead to travel vertically through a soil profile down to depth, understanding the concentrations of lead in plants around a point source. So, here's how I'm going to describe. This is how I'm going to present my information to you today. I have a site description to you where I took the samples, my sampling procedure, my method, and then my results and discussion, and finally the significance of these results. So the site, it's located in San Luis Obispo at Cal Poly campus. And San Luis Obispo is located halfway between LA and San Francisco, roughly, in Central California. More specifically, this is San Luis Obispo. And then if you zoom in again, here is the Trestle Bridge. The Trestle Bridge is located in the northeastern part of Cal Poly campus. And it's that green pin right there. Now, what's the Trestle Bridge? The Trestle Bridge was built in about 1895, about 120 years old. The railroad bridge across the Stenner Creek. It was painted in lead paint all the way back then. It's never been repainted. It was 120-year-old lead paint. And the lead paint was 20% by mass of lead. The geology of the surrounding area is melange, mostly serpentine and gray wacky. And then the soil underneath the bridge is highly disturbed soil. When we were digging the soil pit, we found pieces of metal really at depth, like 87 years, and it was really high clay. So it's a high clay, highly clay beach horizon and highly disturbed. So let me explain to you my sampling procedure. The sampling procedure is we first took samples along the bridge. So the red dots are indicating where I took samples underneath the trestle support beams themselves. So the support beams are keeping the bridge up, and there's a lot of metal and paint. And we're assuming that there's going to be a lot of lead underneath there because it's right underneath the metal. And then the blue stars are between the trestles but underneath the bridge still. Then we also sampled. Okay, here's actually an example of that. This is the bridge itself, and the red dots explaining where underneath the trestle, where there's a lot of metal, and you can imagine there's probably been a lot of erosion right there from the lead getting into the ground. The lead from getting into the ground right there, and there's the blue between the trestle. Okay, and then I also sampled a downwind and upwind of the trestle. So this green arrow is indicating the predominant northwesterly winds in this location, and they come in from the ocean and go down up from this valley to the northwest. And the blue dot down at the bottom is the 50 meters upwind, down here in the lower left, and then goes 10 meters upwind of the bridge, and then on the other side of the bridge, 10 meters downwind, 50 meters downwind. Okay, and here we also dug a soil pit. And here's the location of the soil pit, not underneath the trestle, but between the trestles, but underneath the bridge. The method we use is the nitric acid, so the US EPA 3050B digestion and nitric acid digestion, and we digested the nitric acid in the digester for about 2 hours, and then we ran the samples on a ICP, and then from that we got our results in milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil and milligrams of lead per kilogram of plant material. So let's go dig into the results. The results, now this is why we thought there'd be an influence of wind on our results, because if you look at this is an actual picture of the bridge itself. The paint is not coming off in little pieces, coming in these big flakes that can be blown away by the wind. And we're thinking that, okay, so this was 1 point painted entirely in lead paint, and if you look at it, it's probably like 20% painted now. Really, highly rusted. That paint's got to be going somewhere. And we're assuming it's going to be very, concentrated next to the bridge, but it's going to maybe also be influenced by the wind. We can look at this. We can look at these results. And so here are the results from the longer transect of the wind. So 50 meters upwind, we found the lead concentration to be about 9 milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil. Then 10 meters upwind, we found them to be about 58. So definitely already an increase that makes sense. It's getting closer to the bridge. The bridge is, it's going to have more influence on the lead concentrations. And then right between the trestles, we found it jumps up significantly, 390 milligrams of lead per kilogram. That makes perfect sense. It's right underneath where the water is dripping off the bridge from, and the panes are weathering right there. And let's look, we assume that underneath the trestles could be the highest and see if that's right. And yes, it is at 1,500 milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil, so very high. Now, 10 meters downwind, so the 10 meters upwind is 58 milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil. What's it upwind is four times as much, is 222. There's a lot more, so definitely it wouldn't seem like it's playing an influence on the 50 meters. If you remember before, it was 9 and now it's 24 downwind. So it looks like there's some influence. Let's look at this data in a graph, a graphical representation. So here's my graph of the data. And on the y-axis, we have milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil on the logarithmic scale. Keep that in mind. The location, with all the locations I described, are on the x-axis. And then the dotted black lines indicate the background level of lead that we found in the soils. And as you can tell, it has this shape to it that makes perfect sense. So it's low, and then it increases to right up underneath the bridge, and then it drops down again as you get further and further away. But the increases on the downwind side are definitely larger than the 10 meters upwind. So the wind is playing an influence here. It's very visible. You can see it in the data. And we also took a drug, a soil pit, to look at the reactivity of lead particles in the soil. And if you look at this, this is the first horizon we found 470 milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil. So high. And then you drop down, you get to 115. It drops very suddenly all of a sudden. And then you get down to the upper B horizon, 7 milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil. It drops significantly, really fast. And the reason for that is that lead is really highly reactive to the negative clay particles in the soil, and it doesn't move fast at all. In this case, it was 0.89 centimeters of movement per year, so very slow. And you can tell right here, in 120 years, it's only moved 34 centimeters. That's nothing. It's compared to plant-available molecules. So we also tested the influence of wind on plant lead. So, and there's all the sites that we sampled for soil lead. We also sampled plant lead. And as you can see here, this is a graph showing this. And on the y-axis, we have milligrams of lead per kilogram. But in this case, it's not logarithmic. It's a regular scale. And on the x-axis, we have the same location. And you can tell it looks almost exactly the same as the graph we had before. It starts low and builds up underneath the bridge and then drops right back down again. And the difference is that 10 meters downwind is higher than 10 meters upwind, and the 50 meters downwind is higher than 50 meters upwind. So it looks like wind's playing a role in the concentration of lead in plants, which makes perfect sense if you think about it. There's more lead in that soil, and the plant's going to be taking that up more regularly. So it seems like, what's the significance of this? Why do we care? And the conclusion is that if you have a point source around off your farm, you need to be thinking about that. You need to be thinking that it's not going to be just focused right underneath that point source. It's possible that that wind's going to blow that lead into your field at high concentrations. Like 22 milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil is not a lot. And so we need to keep that in mind. And then also keep in mind that we're trying to remediate that soil, that the lead is going to be concentrated in the upper horizon, so you don't need to necessarily dig out 100 centimeters of soil. You can maybe dig out 25 centimeters of soil and be all right. And then also keep in mind that if you have high lead concentrations in your soils, you're going to have higher lead concentrations in your plants. So your plants in your field are going to be found to have a lot more lead in it than upwind of that point source. And today, just like acknowledgement to my class. This is my Soil Science 423 class, Soil and Water Chemistry. It's Dr. Chip Patel. And I want to thank Craig Stubler and Scott Bensky, who helped with this ICP. Especially Dr. Chip Patel, he really helped us put this together. And then also the reactivity of clay particles to keep everything going. Any questions? Yes, sir. Yeah, so he's asking about the background level of lead in the soils, and I forgot to mention that, but we assumed it to be the lowest profile in our soil pit, because lead moves so slowly through the soil that we can assume that as that depth. So we said it was about 8.5 milligrams of lead per kilogram of soil, and it's a good assumption. The literature is solid.
So as far as mobility is concerned, were you accounting for that? Yeah, down mobility in the soil?
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're trying to say.
So as the lead moved down, were you accounting for
Did I subtract it from my results?
Yeah.
No, I did not. But it's minimal compared to what we have there. Yes, sir.
Did you take any cold density measurements to convert from kilograms of lead or kilograms of soil into a volume basis? So, you know, in that top 10 centimeters or as you go down to depth, how much content there actually is there? Just because
yeah, so he's asking me if
size probably differ in their cold densities.
So his question is if my, if I, to see by bulk, by density, how much lead there is per soil in the internal, no, we did not. That's a great idea, though, and definitely could do that in the future. It was, the horizons were pretty, it was very highly disturbed, and throughout the horizon, it was similar. It was not a really well-horizonated soil. It was BT for, like, 70 centimeters, high clay percentage. It was not horizonated at all. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so there has been studies showing that some plants take up lead more actively than others, or take up lead at higher concentrations. I'm not sure about in our circumstance. We took annuals and perennials, forbs, and grasses. We didn't take any woody material, which would probably have higher concentrations if it's been there longer. I'm not sure in our situation. We started taking random samplings of plant material. We didn't control for plant type. Yeah. Yes, sir. So the EPA, his question is, are they going to clean up the site? Lead has been used in everything for a long time. Lead was used in gasoline for decades. There's lead everywhere. If you go on next to any major freeway, there's going to be lead concentrations along that freyway at high levels. And the US EPA, the EPA has some guidelines. It's, I think, 400 milligrams of lead per kilogram in residential, 800 for industrial. But this doesn't really fit any of those circumstances. It's more of like a zone that's not really being, it's not being developed, and it's not really actively used for grazing. It's not farmed. So, no. It's just going to be left the way it is because there's, I mean, it's a crazy amount of money to clean that up. To dig out that 25 centimeters of soil and to repaint that bridge, the local government can't do that. Yeah. Any other questions for me? Yes. I have no way of knowing. It doesn't look any different than anywhere else around Cal Poly campus. It doesn't, the grasses are the same, the forbs are the same. Although it was strange, right underneath the trestles where the highest concentration was, there was a massive amount of poison oak, which I really didn't think about it, just popped in my mind right now. But that could just be because they mowed down the poison oak in other places and they just don't want to deal with it in there. Not that I noticed. It's hard to tell. That'd be a hard experiment to do. Anything else?